Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm ending my fourth week of teaching on financial stewardship. Now I'm going to continue to teach on this next week, and we're going to go into our fifth week of teaching. But I have a six-part album entitled Financial Stewardship. Today we're dealing with the fifth in that sixth part, and it's entitled The Tithe. And I've been talking about this for the last few days, but the tithe is something that I believe has been mistaught in the New Testament. Basically, most people base their teaching about the tithe on Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, that talk about how you have robbed God if you don't pay your tithes, and therefore you're cursed with the curse. And that's what most people teach. Most people teach that it is under this debt, it's an obligation, and there is no blessing on tithing. You are cursed if you don't tithe, that it's the offerings above the tithe that you get your blessings on. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, you have robbed God in tithes and in offerings. This is talking about that you're robbing God if you don't pay tithes and offerings. So how do you apply that? The offerings and tithes could amount to 33%. How do you deal with this? Well, under the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. Christ redeemed me from the curse of Malachi chapter 3, verse 9. I am not cursed. You aren't cursed if you don't tithe. You aren't very smart if you don't tithe, but you aren't cursed. Amen. There's a big difference. Yes, we're supposed to still give, and yes, the tithe is a beginning place. I think it's a foundational place. So yes, we're supposed to tithe. But God is not going to curse you. And to use that Old Testament motivation of fear to drive people totally negates the return on your giving. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, if you give all of your goods to feed the poor, or if you give your body to be burned and don't do it motivated by God's kind of love, it profits you nothing. So the motive behind your gift either amplifies or totally negates the benefit of your giving. And if you have been tithing because you are cursed if you don't, well, then you have just voided your gift. And we've talked about that the last couple of days. Let me turn back over to Malachi chapter 3. And let me make another point out of here. And that is, right after it said that you were cursed for not tithing, in verse 10 it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And let me just point out here some things that are very important, and that is about where does your tithe belong? Most people just across the board say, well, the tithe belongs to the church. You bring your tithe to the local church. And what is typically taught, I'd say that the most dominant teaching on this is that your tithe goes to the local church, and then if you want to give above a tithe, that's where you support like children in other countries and do missionary work and give to ministries like mine, and you give above your tithe, but the tithe goes to the local church. And let me just say some things here. This is probably not going to endear me to anybody, but in a perfect world, I agree with that. If you go to a great church, if you go to a good Bible-teaching church that is doing the Word of God, then you know what? I would agree that your tithe should go to the local church, and you ought to give offerings above that to missions projects, to benevolence things, and to ministries such as mine and things like that. That's in a perfect world. That's in if you are going to a good church. But the point I'm making here is I am not going to go as far as to just say that the tithe goes to the local church, period. Because there are many of you that go to churches that are not good churches. Just because they got a cross on the steeple doesn't mean that they're preaching the gospel. And it's important. You have to be a steward. Again, we're talking about financial stewardship. You can't just give your money and say, well, I gave. God looks at my heart. God knows that I mean well, but you know, it's up to them what they do with it. I can't control that. No, you are responsible. I don't believe that you're 100% responsible. Of course, all of us have given to a church that sometime or another the pastor had a moral failing or somebody has done something wrong. I'm not saying that you have to just analyze and pick the thing apart and they have to be perfect before you put your money into there. But I'm saying that you do have a responsibility to plant seed in fertile ground. And a person who thinks, it doesn't matter where I give, just as long as I give, God knows my heart. I guarantee you, you're going to make a terrible farmer. If you think that putting a seed on this carpet is going to produce the same results as finding fertile ground and putting it in rich ground that will nurture and take care of it, if you can't see the difference between carpet and fertile ground, something's wrong with you. It does matter where you give. You have a responsibility to be a steward and to plant your seed in good ground. And not everything that calls itself church today is good ground. Not everything that calls itself good today is good ground. You know, I'm reminded right now of when I travel. I go overseas a lot. This year I'll be going overseas 4 times. And when you go on these foreign trips, when you go from one country to another, one of the things they do is come through and they have this program called Change for Good. And they want you to take whatever currency, coins, or whatever you have left over from the country you're coming to and put it in there and give it. I think it goes to the UNICEF program, United Nations Children Emergency Fund, or I don't know, something like that. And they want you to give your change. And a lot of people do this. And you know what? I haven't researched this completely, but I know enough to know that UNICEF, one of the dominant things they do is help women with abortions in these third world countries. They are responsible for murdering millions of babies. And some people just put their change in, well, it's UNICEF, it's United Nations, let's do something good, and they feel good about it. I guarantee you, I'm responsible. When a person just puts your money into something like that, and you think, well, I gave. You gave to what? You know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the scripture says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other man's sins. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about ordination. When you ordain a person and lay your hands on them and pray over them and send them out, it goes on to say you are partaking of what they do. That's the reason you don't do it quickly. You evaluate. You make sure that this is a godly person, because when you lay hands on them and send them out, you are becoming a partaker of what they produce. It's the same thing with your money when it leaves your hands. Wherever you're sowing it, whatever comes out of that, you partake of that. If it's good, you get the benefit. If it's bad, you get the benefit. And there are some of you that go to churches that license the homosexuals. I'm not against homosexuals. God loves them. They can be changed, forgiven, the same as anybody else. But they have no business being a leader in the body of Christ. That's wrong. And they should not be ordained and preaching and accepted and embraced as an alternative lifestyle. It's wrong. I'm not against people who divorce. There are sometimes that divorces, you know, may be better than murdering the person you're staying with. But you know what? I still believe it's wrong. I'm not mad at them. I can have compassion on them. But I still think that you shouldn't divorce if at all possible. As much as lies within you, you need to live peaceably. There's lots of things that are wrong. And you shouldn't just allow all of this liberalism that is coming into the body of Christ. And yet some of you go to churches that they license homosexuals. They promote agendas that are contrary to the Word of God. And so, no, I am not going to say that the tithe goes to the church, period. I'm going to say that the tithe goes to the good church, the church that is accurately representing God, because a local church can minister to you on a level that a ministry like mine can't. You know, I'm anointed to teach the Word, and I hear people all of the time say, I've learned more from you in a couple of months than I've learned in 23 years in the church. I believe that God has given me a Word, and that you could get your life touched and changed through this ministry. I believe that. But hearing the truth, as important as that is, learning the Word of God and letting the truth set you free, as important as that is not all there is to the Christian life. You need fellowship. And you know what? I make a very poor person for you to fellowship with. Listening to me talk, a monologue where you don't get to talk back and forth, and I can't answer your questions, and I can't be there when you're hurting to put my arm around you and minister to you. You know what? This is just poor fellowship. It may be great enlightenment, great revelation, but a local church can minister to you on a personal level and provide you with relationships and fellowships that you can't get from my ministry. A local church can help you with your children in a way that I can't. You can learn principles from me about how to raise your children and how to deal with hurts and pains and things that come. But you know what? I can't sit there and help you raise your children. I can't provide after school hour entertainment for them. I can't provide a social setting for them that will provide them a godly atmosphere instead of an ungodly atmosphere. I can't marry them. I can't help you bury people. I am not going to be there in the middle of the night if you need counseling and if you call and if you're in a crisis situation. If you have to go to a hospital, you can't call me. I can't come and be there. I know some people don't understand that. You know, nearly every week, I'm sure it's not accurate to say every week, but I mean most weeks, many weeks, I have people call and say, somebody's died. Would you please come and help me raise them from the dead? Would you please come and help me pray for somebody? And I know that this sounds terrible, but you know what? I can't do it. I just am one person. I can't do it. I can barely do what I'm doing. I certainly couldn't add to it traveling every time a person calls and has a crisis situation. And it's one of the things that really disappoints me, but I have to tell people who are dying that I'm sorry I can't come. I have to tell people I can't even sit there and pray for you for 4 or 5 hours and spend time interceding and counseling you. And I just can't do it. I can't do that. A local church can do it. And so, if everything in the church is going the right way, if they are truly ministering the Word of God, not perfect, but doing the right things, yes, then your tithe should go to the local church because they can minister to you in a level, on a level, in a depth that I can't do. And so, if you have a great church that is really ministering the Word of God, I would say you ought to put the bulk of your giving there. Your tithe at least ought to go to that local church because they can minister to you and to your community in a way that I can't. In other words, here's another way of looking at it. It ought to be proportional. Look at this verse. This is just so clear if you stop and think about it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. People say, well, what's a storehouse? Well, some people will say it's just the church straight across the board, but I think it's more accurate to say a storehouse is where you go when you're hungry and you want some food. You've got your food laid up, you've got your fruit, your vegetables, whatever laid up there, and you go to the storehouse to get the food that you're going to consume that gives you nourishment. Where do you get fed? Let me say it this way. If you aren't going to a local church that is truly feeding you, the first thing I'd say is quit going to that local church. You ought to go to a church that feeds you. If you're one of those that says, I've learned more from you in 2 months than I've learned in 23 years of going to the church, then you know what? You probably aren't going to a good church. Either you are just deaf and hard of heart and hadn't heard it, or possibly you're going to a church that's just preaching man's doctrine, social issues. They aren't flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They aren't giving a real, true Word of God. And if you're in a situation where you aren't being fed in that local church, leave it. And I know that there's some, oh, I can't do that. I've had 4 generations go to this church. We've got our name engraved on a plaque. We can't do that. Well, I haven't got time to sit here and debate this with you. I can't get into specifics. But if for whatever your reason is, you aren't going to go to a church that is truly feeding you and ministering to you and making a difference, and because of that, you're bootlegging the gospel off of my program, you're having to sit here and get my materials because you aren't getting the truth in your local church. They're saying that the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen today. Miracles don't happen today. My first counsel to you is get out of there and go to a place that is preaching the truth. But if for whatever your reason, maybe your mate, that's the only church they'll go to, and you're thinking it'd be better to go here than it'd be better to go here and get a little bit of Christian influence than for me to go someplace else and them not go with me and they wouldn't get any. You know, there could be a million reasons why you're doing what you're doing. But if you aren't going to leave a place that's not feeding you, and you're going to depend upon me or someone else to feed you the truth, then I'll say this. Don't give your money there. Give your money where you're being fed. That's what this says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you get fed. Are you being fed in your local church? And I'm not talking about just crumbs. Can you live off of what you're being fed? Are they really ministering to you? If it's a good church, they should be. And they should even be able to minister to you to a degree that I can't, because they're going to provide you relationship. They're going to provide you a Christian culture, a support system, that if tragedy hits, there's going to be people there to love you and help you in a way that I can't do. You have to evaluate church as being much more than just a place where you hear the word. There's a whole Christian community and a whole Christian environment and things that it provides to you. Help with your children is very important. And so evaluate all of this. Is that church feeding you? If they are, if it's a really good church, well, then you follow this scripture. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. Are they really feeding you? And if has your life been made rich because of that church? If they are, then give your tithes to it and give offerings above that, towards feeding programs for the hungry and towards ministries like this and other evangelistic type things. But if for whatever reason you're going to stay in a church that is not ministering the word and you are struggling and they aren't helping you, as a matter of fact, you have to go home and pray the junk that they've said out of you, don't put your money there, because by doing so, you're rewarding that. You're encouraging in that. You are planting a seed into those wrong things, and you are going to reap the wrong things that that seed produces. I know that many of you are just absolutely shocked. This is not how most people think. Most people think that I'm just going to church. Oh, it's not a very good church, but you know, this is where I've been. And many of you think, oh, I'm going to change this church. Let me address that for just a moment, because you know, I've pastored three churches. And I can tell you that for the pastor to change the church takes a miracle. It's impossible, nearly. It is not humanly possible to turn a church that has been going one direction, preaching that God doesn't do miracles today, that God is going to curse you with the curse if you don't tithe. For them to have been this way for 100 years in that denomination and all of those people there, for the pastor to turn that church and point them in a new direction is not humanly possible. It takes a supernatural miracle from God. Very, very few percentage of those times will it ever happen. And if that's true of the pastor, I can promise you that you, as Joe Blow Christian, sitting in the congregation, is not going to change that church. And some of you are thinking, oh, I've got a word from God. Well, I beg to differ with you. I've never seen it work. I've seen hundreds, thousands of people say that they're staying for that reason. And what usually happens is that they become more like that church, and the unbelief has more of an effect on them than what they have on that church. You individually are not going to change them collectively. There's a reason why people go to that church, because they want to be that way. There's nothing that makes people go to certain churches. They go there because there's something there that they like. This is who they want to be. This is the way they want that church to be. If you are in a church thinking that you're going to change them, you're swimming upstream. It's not going to work. you would be better off. Actually, if you are countering the things that are being said and they preach one thing from the pulpit and then you come back behind and start whispering and saying, no, that's not true. Here's what the Word says. You know what? You're sowing discord. It would actually be better to let those people be wrong in unity than to have you there countering it in this undercurrent of strife and division. I really believe that. So I'm saying that if you're saying, well, I'm staying here because I'm going to change them. I know you aren't. And if for whatever reason you're staying there, at least follow the instructions of this. Bring the tithes to the storehouse. Where do you get fed? If you go to a church that doesn't feed you, don't put your tithes there. First of all, get out of that church and go to one that does feed you. But if you don't, then don't put your tithes there. Or, you know, Jamie and I, we go to a church that is a good church. And it's really ministering to people and there's good things happening. I believe that I could truly give my tithes 100% to that church with this one exception. That I travel all of the time. And I'm gone so much. And when I go to that church, I just go one time a week when I go. There's some times that I only go once a month or maybe once every month and a half because I'm gone traveling. And so I can't truly say that that church feeds me. It feeds me when I'm there and it's a benefit to me, but I'm in a situation where I feel like that if I was to put all of my tithes into that church, I wouldn't be following the instructions of this verse. And so what Jamie and I do, every time we go to that church, every time we make a service, we usually give $500 or $1,000 or something like that. I give to that church, but I don't give everything or all of my tithe to that church because I'm fed from other places. I have relationships. I have other pastors that speak into my life and are a mentor to me. And you know what? We support them. Matter of fact, I've got one guy that I support $500 a month. Jamie and me personally, a pastor friend who is a mentor to me, and I give them $500 a month and help them with all the things that they're doing. I put my giving to people who God has used to feed me and to touch me. And when I'm traveling or if I'm just driving down the road and if somebody on the radio says something that ministers to me, you know what? I'll send them $5. I'll send them $10. Because if God used them to touch me and speak something to me, it's worth something. So I'll just send money wherever I'm ministered to. I tell you, if the body of Christ would learn to do this and give where they're fed instead of give where they're begged or give where they feel obligated, manipulated, and condemned into giving, it would transform you. You would get a totally different return off of your giving than what you've been doing. It would transform the body of Christ, too. I hadn't got time to explain that today, but on our program next Monday, this is exactly what I'm going to get into, is explaining how if we were to give where we are fed, how this would change you and your return off of your giving, how it would change the body of Christ and the way it would function. It would change the way that ministers make appeals for money if people gave where they were fed. But you know, it's sad to say, with most people, they don't give where they're fed. They give where they're begged. They give where they're deceived. They give where they're manipulated, coerced, condemned, and all of these other things, and it needs to change. I'm going to talk about that more next week. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive this album entitled Financial Stewardship. And I believe it'll be a big blessing to you, so call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album, The Tithe, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to point you to our website. We have an address right there on your screen. And you know, our website is full of some powerful materials. You can get all of this teaching about financial stewardship there. You can watch my television programs on this. I have nearly 10 years worth of television programs on our website that you can watch right there. I've got over 10 years worth of radio that you can get all of those programs and listen to them free right there on the internet. I have hundreds of my teachings available. We have resources of every kind. Our study Bible is there that you can download. Tens of thousands of verses that I've got commentary on. It's just a wealth of information. Check it out. The web address is right there on your screen.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.